Colossians chapter 4, 2 through 4. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak.
Well, once again, Happy New Year. I think 2020 is going to be a great year. And we're starting it off, as you've already heard, talking about prayer. So how's your prayer life? Instant guilt, right? not always. But most of us would probably readily admit, oh, you know, I could probably pray more. If I asked about, how about sharing your faith? There's another area where we go, you know, I could do that more. And our passage, three verses, talks about both of them. Well, my intent today is not to rid you of, or to load you up with guilt or manipulate you or make you feel bad. We're going to just focus on prayer. And actually, I think prayer is a strength of our church. I see prayer happening all over, corporately and individually, and it's something the search committee, as reflective of what you have said, we want our next pastor to help us in that whole area of prayer. The passage that Scott read was from Colossians. If you live in the city of Colossae, you are a Colossian. Paul is in prison. It's 62 AD, and he writes to them. And I guess if you're in prison, you have a lot of time on your hands. And one of the things you do is you pray a lot. He's going to talk to us about prayer. As we've already made mention this week, this is a great tradition in our church that we start the new year with prayer. Not that we don't pray other weeks, but a specific emphasis on praying. And I want this morning to be just encouraging and equipping. I want us to motivate us to pray more and give us some practical guidelines on kind of how to do that. So once more, can you just pray with me? And we're going to ask God to help us. Lord, we do need you. And we are gathered here like those early disciples of Jesus who said, teach us to pray. And so I pray that our time together would help do that. That wherever we're at this morning, that you would move us forward a step or two. Thank you, Lord. We listen to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's what I want to do. In our passage, it's going to just give us, and I'm going to try and be as practical as I can here today, four practices of prayer. Here's the first one. Pray with devotion. ESV says continue steadfastly in prayer. New International Version and New American Standard Version say it this way, devote yourselves to prayer. King James, continue in prayer. And the Phillips translation, always maintain the habit of prayer. Well, how do we do that? That can be kind of challenging, can't it? To be consistent and persistent and to kind of just keep going. Well, let's talk about developing holy habits. According to researchers at Duke University, habits account for about 40% of what we do in our daily life. If you think about it, stuff that currently that we do, or if you want to change a habit or build a new habit, it's important to understand sort of how that works and how that doesn't work and how that just influences our life in general. Jesus assumed that we would have holy habits. In his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, in Matthew 6, he says, when you give, here's how you should give. He assumes that we would give. Matthew 6, 2. Matthew 6, 5, when you pray. Matthew 6, 16, when you fast. not if you do these things, but when you do these things. Well, of course, prayer is all throughout the scriptures, right? We have a verse like 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Well, that doesn't mean 24/7 you have to be praying. There's other things to do. God wants you to do, of course. Some of those hours we actually sleep and do other things. But a lifetime or a style of prayer, the habit of prayer. Well, how long does it take to build a habit? I was reading a little bit about this week. The most popular answer is somewhere between 21 to 30 days it takes to develop a habit. And obviously, to keep that going, to maintain, you know, long-term, longer. But to start with, you could do it in 3 to 4 weeks. Here's 5 steps to building a new habit. Start with an incredibly small habit, right? Baby steps. Start small. Increase your habit in small ways. As you build up, break those habits into chunks. And when you slip, oh boy, well, get on track as quick as you can, back on track. And 5, be patient. Stick to what you can kind of sustain. So here's how that might look. Don't go home today and say, I'm going to pray for 3 hours. I am so motivated. Not that that's a bad thing, but probably you're going to set yourself up for failure, right? Don't do that. Start with 3 minutes and add a minute. Or maybe you pray 3 times a day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I don't know. Add a 4th time. Or maybe you pray longer than that. You pray 3 days out of the week. Well, add another day. Just start small and develop this habit. Because it takes time and practice and sort of some regularity. I think some of the things that help is if you have a regular time where you pray, right? Many of you, let's say you pray at night when you're going to. If you pray every night like that, that's helpful. That develops a pattern and some consistency. Or maybe there's a place that you pray, a physical place. There's a chair, or there's a couch. Most days, Debbie and I commute, and we pray in the car with our eyes open, so that's good. We prayed this morning. We prayed. It was a little slippery coming in this morning, so we especially prayed. But we enjoy that. That's a regular thing for us. To wherever we're going, it's usually just the two of us now. But we pray. And that kind of habit is just, it's sort of habit forming. And it's a good thing. We just sort of automatically do it. What happens when you say, I'm going to pray with devotion, but then you sort of lapse? You had a goal, but you missed it. Well, don't give up. Don't say, oh, this prayer thing doesn't work. I tried it for 3 days, and it just doesn't work. Well, no. We're talking about devotion here. Think of the things you're devoted to. Probably your family, right? You rearrange things to have priority time with your family. Or your job. You go to your job even when you don't feel like it. Or you are a devoted sports fan and you don't miss a game. You're devoted. Devoted to prayer. See, prayer doesn't just sort of happen like, well, if I have time to do it. You have to make time to do it, right? That's how things that you're devoted to happen. You purposefully carve out time and energy to do it. Now, some of you know this very well. In fact, some of you perhaps have been praying for things or people for years, or maybe even for decades. And it's tempting to just say, I'm praying for this person. They'll never change. It'll never happen, whatever it is you're praying for. Don't give up. Keep praying. Just because God's not answering exactly right now visibly doesn't mean he's working. He is. Our job is to just keep praying. So pray with devotion. Here's the second one. Pray with focus. It says being watchful in it, in our prayers. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I pray, my mind wanders. Do you ever have that problem? There's things going through my mind 100 miles an hour, and I can get distracted. God says, "Well, pray with focus." Now, how do we do that? I'll give you a couple ideas. Pray with your eyes open, not necessarily physically. You can pray with them closed, open, whatever. But spiritually, pray with your eyes open. What do I mean by that? Well, God, help me to see some opportunities to pray. Like, I'm not always sure what to pray for. Well, God, just help me in that. Ask God to open your eyes to the people and the opportunities to pray for. To pray for your family, to watch your neighbor or your friend. Boy, is there something that I could pray for? And see opportunities to act. God, you're at work here. Maybe I could join you. Or do you want me to join you? I'm praying about whatever. Could I be part of that answer? Is there something I could do that would be a participant in? Should I say a kind word to my coworker? Should I bring a gift or a meal to a struggling neighbor? I'm praying for my child, who's a child or a teen or an adult. Lord, what is it that I should pray for specifically? Do you want me to say something or do something? Or do you want me to not say something and just wait patiently and trust you to work? And God, help me know the difference when to say something, when not to say something, to do something, to not do something. God, I know these opportunities are all around. So open my eyes, Lord, to help me sort of see those so that I'm not just passively kind of going through life, but I'm participating with you. Another thing you need to have eyes open for is your adversary, the devil. Here's what Scripture says, 1 Peter 5. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Satan will try and discourage and defeat you when it comes to prayer. He will try to convince you that, you know, prayer is hard work. You're not really up for this. And prayer doesn't work. I mean, why would God listen to your prayers? Who do you think you are? Maybe other people, God answers their prayers, but not you. And he will try and tell you those lies. So keep your eyes open for that. Being watchful and praying with focus also means you keep your ears open. Prayer is a two-way conversation with God, right? It's not just, God, gimme, 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 gimme. That's not biblical prayer. It's a conversation where we say, God, let's talk about this. God, what do you think? So sometimes prayer means just being quiet and listening to God speak to us. Now, what would God say, or what could God say? Well, he could say all sorts of things, couldn't he? He could give you words of comfort. He could say, you know, I know the challenges you're going through right now. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I know all about them, and we'll get this through this together. He could tell you that if your ears are open. It could be words of encouragement where he says, you know, thanks for helping your family. You didn't think I saw that, but I did. You know, when you were really busy and you had to put aside your stuff and you attended to them and helped meet their needs, I saw that. Maybe it might even be a word of correction where God says, you know, there's a sin in your life that's kind of messing things up. Why don't you ask for forgiveness for that? And I'll cleanse you. And let's have you repent from that. I'll help you. Stop doing that bad habit. Start doing a good habit. I'll help you do that. Or maybe it's just a word of instruction where you're praying about such and such, and God says, that's great, but you know what? Let me give you a little more insight to what you're praying about. You're praying about X. Let me fill in the gaps with Y and Z. And you can pray about that too. And God gives you some discernment and wisdom on sort of what's going on and what are some of the root issues and just how you can pray more specifically. So when our ears are open, God could tell us all kinds of things, couldn't he? So pray with devotion. Pray with focus. He goes on. He says, do this with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. Now, that's not a new idea. We see that all through Scripture. He told the Philippians the same thing. He says, don't worry about anything, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, pray about everything. He tells the church at Thessalonica the same thing. He says, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, why is it good to pray with thanksgiving? We kind of started the service that way, or whatever, being thankful. Why do we do that? Let me give you a couple reasons. One, giving thanks glorifies God. It focuses not so much on the gift, which is a good thing, but on the giver. Right? That every good and perfect gift comes from above. Now, what could we thank God for? You know, in your prayers, what kind of stuff could we say, thank you, God? Well, I don't know. Just some suggestions here. You could be thankful just for God's presence. God, thank you that you're with me. He's right here in our worship service. God, thank you that you're with me as I drive back home, as I go back to school tomorrow. Oh, God, I don't know how excited I am about that. But you're with me. Thank you. God, you're going with me as I go to work or whatever. God, you're with me. Thank God for his provision. Oftentimes at meals, we do that, right? Thank you for this food. Whatever. Or at the end of the day, thank you, Lord, for all your provisions throughout the day. That's a good habit. Thank God for his forgiveness. Lord, thank you. Jesus dies on the cross for my sins, and that's my salvation. Thank you. And thank you that forgiveness is there every day when I mess up and I confess to you, and God, thank you. It just washes me clean. I need that. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your promises. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. Thank you for the promise of heaven. Thank you that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of promises in the Bible. Thank you, God, for those. Maybe it needs to be even more personal, and you need to just start writing down the things you pray for and keeping track of how God answers them. That's always an interesting exercise. Wow, God, you're at work more than I thought. Look at this. And your little prayer journal or list or whatever starts filling up. Even plus it helps you remember stuff to pray for. But look at this. God, you really answer prayer. It's the seventh time in this short little book of Colossians, four chapters, that praying with thanksgiving is mentioned. Because it's important. It glorifies God. It also builds our faith. Right? When we start to see God at work, wow, God, you do answer prayer. Thank you for that. And all of a sudden now we see things and we acknowledge God. Wow, you're more at work than I give you credit for, than I thought. And it reinforces in our mind and our hearts that, you know what, I can really trust God. Thank you, God. You did that yesterday. And you know what? I think I can trust you for today and maybe even for tomorrow. And as we are actively thanking God, we're acknowledging God, we're seeing God at work, it really does build our faith and help us trust Him. And so it's a good thing. Pray with thanksgiving. One final practice. Pray with devotion. Pray with focus. Pray with thanksgiving. Finally, pray with purpose. I don't know about you, but sometimes my prayers can be just too vague, sort of difficult to know if God even answered them. God bless so-and-so. How do I know when God did that? Maybe in a general way, but specifically, I'm not sure. So let's look at what Paul asked for prayer for. He says, at the same time you're praying about all these other things, pray also for us. What? Why? Well, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison. Pray this, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. What's he asking prayer for? First, he's saying, pray for God's work. God, open a door for ministry, for your work. Now, does God really want us to pray about that? Can't he just do it by himself? Well, I guess technically he can, right? God can do what he needs to do, whether we pray about it or not. But you know what? The great blessing and the truth is that God invites us to join him sort of in that work and to pray. We get to participate in building his kingdom. Now, you'd think that Paul in prison would sort of be a downtime for him. He wouldn't be thinking about trying to reach people for Christ. But here he is, asking, and he knows he can't do it alone, so he asks for help. Asking for opportunities, asking for boldness, asking for clarity, asking for God to work. So what work could we pray for? What are we talking about? Well, let me throw out a couple options for you. Pray for God's work here at church. Pray for our kids. Pray for our youth. Pray for adults. Pray for our small groups. Pray for our elders. Pray for our search team. Boy, there's a host of things you could pray for. Pray for God's work in your family. In your marriage, with your kids. Some of the kids live at home. Some of the kids live elsewhere. Pray for God's work there. Pray for God's work in your own life. God, make me a person of integrity. Grow my faith. Give me more patience or help me be more loving. Whatever. Pray for those things for God to work in your own life. Pray for God's work in the world. You know, we have prayer requests every week. Or maybe you click on the news and see something or hear something. And you, just shoot off a quick prayer. Oh, you know, God, I've never been there. I don't know these people. I probably never will be there, but I can pray. God, I'm praying for your work. That's what I mean by pray with purpose. You pray for God's work. You also pray for God's workers, for people. In the back of our church directory is a list of missionaries and organizations that our church supports. If I counted right, there's 10 missionary names in there, families, and 4 different organizations. Pray for them. I know that you pray for the mission organizations and missionaries that our church doesn't support, but you support. Pray for them. Pray for others that you know about or hear about. You even pray for yourself. You're one of God's workers. Paul says, asks Colossians to pray for him. Actually, he says, pray for us. That's Paul and Timothy. Pray for us. Sometimes it can kind of be hard to ask people to pray for you, can it? I don't know why. Maybe there's a sense of pride in there, or I don't want to show my weakness or my need, or I'm not sure I'm risking, you know, I'm not sure how they're going to react. But it's very biblical to ask people to pray for you. I hope there's somebody that you could even ask today, that your spouse, someone in your family, someone in your church, somebody that you could say, oh, I've got a need, I've got an opportunity, here's my situation, pray for me. Well, we could go on and on about prayer and our prayer life, both individually and corporately. Let me close doing a couple things here. One about a short story about a guy who went to heaven and saw a warehouse filled with boxes. Kind of, they look like Christmas presents. They're just wrapped beautifully, but they were unopened. And he had to go over and kind of look at the label, and it was labeled, never asked for. They were filled with God's blessings, but nobody ever received them because nobody ever asked. He thought, wow, wonder how many of those I missed out on. Whether you are, well, whoever you are, whatever situation you're in, all of us need to pray, don't we? I like what President Abraham Lincoln said. Remember him? Very difficult time in the history of our country. Here's what he said. He says, I've been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for that day. And there is story after story and record after record of President Lincoln at his wit's end, not sure where the country was going to go. What should he do? Criticism from all sides. Sounds kind of familiar. He says, well, I pray. The story that an older lady from another state traveled all the way to the White House to see the president because she just wanted to pray for him. And the Secret Service wouldn't let her in. We don't know you. What are you doing? You have no appointment. Come on. The president heard, and he didn't. Had never met her either. But he heard why she was there. And she escorted him into the Oval Office, and they got down on their knees, and they prayed. pray with devotion. You pray with focus. You pray with thanksgiving. And you pray with purpose. So what I want us to do now is just do that quickly as we close. And then we'll have the worship team come and lead us in a final song. I'm going to pray through a prayer in the scriptures. There's dozens and dozens of prayers in the Bible. So if you ever want, that'd be an interesting study. I don't know what to pray. Well, in the Bible, there's a lot of prayers. Not just the Lord's Prayer, but all sorts of prayers. I'm going to close with this one from Ephesians chapter 3. Let's pray together. For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you and me to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.